Is everything in my life of the same importance? Well, no. Right? Thank you, Houghton. There's different things that fill our lives, right? If this represents your whole life, or maybe it's more helpful to break it down to your week. There's different things of different shapes and sizes that we fill our life with. But it's not as though, you know, we can have enough ping pong balls to fill the whole vase with just the ping pong balls. It's not as though everything is of the same value. Would you agree? Right? Now, if God, the God who created the whole world, sends His Son Jesus to be in human form to talk with us on our level. You know, Jesus is using street language. Are you aware of this? If God is going to come and talk to us in street language, and He's going to say, hey, pay attention to this. Don't you think we should pay attention? Some of you are with me. That's fantastic. The rest of you, check your pulse. All right. Jesus says, pay attention to this. First, the first commandment. Seek first. And so what that means is that as I go about my life, as I go about filling my life, I need to consider what Jesus said. I think most of us here know that by showing up today doesn't make you a believer in Jesus. It doesn't stamp your ticket to heaven. It doesn't even make you a part of a church. Coming together, living life together, sharing life together as a group of believers in one place and one time, that's what makes us a church. Confessing our sins, turning away from our sins, chasing Jesus, seeking God through Jesus, not trying to prove how good I am, but accepting the fact that I'm only good in His love. That's how I become a Christian. Are you with me? Let's not get it mixed up. Jesus knew that we would have questions. Thank God. Right? 100% man, 100% God. He knew we would have questions. And so He marked some stuff out for us as to then what do I do? Okay, I've accepted the love of God, but now what do I do? And the beginning of the year, why we would start off with this first prayer focus, January 7th to the 27th, is because it's a really good idea for you to determine the focus of your life. It's a really good idea for you to decide the direction of your life, because what you focus on is where you will go. Hello? You know, what do you learn when you learn how to drive a car? Keep your eyes on the road, right? Because if you're looking over there, you're going to drive over there. Your focus determines your direction. It's good for us to not eat, not listen to certain things, not watch certain things, not do certain things at the beginning of the year as a way for us to even good things that God created that He wants us to enjoy as a way for us to find out how much of a hold on us do they have. Do I own things or do they own me? Are my cravings in control or is my spirit in control? I know this is new information for some of you. It's okay. No one in here is better than you. Right? No one else in here is better than you. We're all God's creation. Jesus knew we would have questions, and He knew that we would say, okay, so what does that mean? So how do I then live? That's why He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you can go back and listen to last week's messages. We talked about that and what that means. Now, why are we doing all this? Well, our big three, connect, grow, share, we want to help you connect with Jesus. And that is why we sing. That's why we pray. That's why we do communion when we get together here in our in the theater and in our homes. Because we want to help you functionally, for real, connect with Jesus in a way where your relationship then grows. Right? You want to connect with Jesus. And if you truly connect with Jesus, you will grow. Right? And then grow in your faith. That's why we want to help start the year in such a way. And you're like, "Now, Pastor Ben, this series is really kind of devotional and really just kind of passionate and just kind of like I'm not writing down as much stuff." Maybe it's time for you to not write down as much stuff. Maybe it's time for you to stop and say, "Am I in love with God? Am I in love with God?" It's a really good question because, see, if you're not growing in your love for God, you will never want to do the third one, and that is share. I talk about giving away money, and you go, like you literally, like your belly button puckers. Okay? I talk about giving of your time and energy, like, yep, that's nice. See you all next Sunday. Right? I mean, real? I've been there. Because if you're not in love with God, it's not an alive relationship that continues, that grows, that's life-giving, that puts wind in your sails, that actually puts momentum into your life. But when I open up the Bible and I read the words of Jesus to learn about God because I love Him, I cannot help but see that that's what God is drawing us to. Jesus uses a very strong love word. And when I ask myself this question, am I in love with God? Well, unfortunately, one of the few ways that I have before going to the Bible to learn about love is through human relationships. So let's talk about that for a second. Can you love someone without ever looking at them? I mean, in most cases, no. Right? Are you going to, like, be Twitter-pated, infatuated, all warm and gooey on the inside like a chocolate chip cookie? I'm sorry, that was not appropriate. Can you be infatuated with someone without knowing anything about them? Like, I mean, okay, love at first sight, sure, I understand that. But you're at least seeing something. Hello? You're at least observing. Wow, they look nice. I mean, wow. Right? Now, wouldn't it seem a little strange? Wouldn't it be difficult for your love to grow if you're never around them? Rebecca and I have been married for 16 years. I know, I don't look that old. We've been married for 16 years. In that time, I had a job for 7.5 years where I had to be out of state more than half the year. I hated it. I hated every moment that I was away from her. Now, every man is different in their marriage, but that's me. I hated being away from her. Now, I did that job for God, not for my boss. Hopefully he never listens to this. I did not like him enough to be away from my wife. I did it for God. And I chose that I would not give to God something that cost me nothing. It was really precious to me to have time away from my wife. Because even though we were faithful, even though we talked to each other every day, it's not the same. So we really haven't been married for 16 and a half years. I got to be careful about that math, though, because our daughter's 9. So you got... yeah. So anyway... Now let's apply that to your relationship with God. Why are we talking about praying and reading our Bibles? Legalistic garbage. Well, wait. If Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died. If God loved me way before I thought about loving Him, I should love Him, right? If He has literally saved my soul from hell, if He is the reason that I'm not destined for eternal damnation, to be forever. And I'm not talking about fire and snakes. I'm talking about being forever separated from the only source of true love, hope, peace, and joy. If God reached out to me through Jesus Christ so that I don't have to worry about that being my fate, whether I like it or not or believe it or not, that is my ultimate destination without Jesus Christ. If God loved me so much that He set it up so that all I have to do is say, I accept, then shouldn't I love Him? And how can my love for Him grow if I don't ever look at Him, if I don't ever listen to Him, if I don't ever consider Him? Are you with me? See, when you read your Bible, when you go to church, when you read Christian books or go to conferences or whatever it is that you do to try to connect with God, you can have internal motivation or external motivation. I can be motivated by the guilt of my childhood and thinking, I've got to prove that I'm a good person. Wrong. Hello? I can be motivated by other people expect this of me. Wrong. I can be motivated by, I want my life to change. Wrong. The only appropriate response for me to respond to God is out of an internal motivation of love, of saying, thank you. There should be no end to me saying, thank you. Our next scripture here, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 14 on your paper, speaking of God, you keep your covenant and show unfailing love to all who walk before you in wholehearted devotion. How am I going to do that? Well, it starts with a love response. Can you try to stop your thoughts for just a second and look at me? I would love for you today to take a moment and imagine, what would your life be like if you were in love with God? What would your life be like if you were completely head over heels, crazy in love with God? Wholehearted devotion. How would your life be different? See, here's why I think most of us are actually living lives of quiet desperation. Lives of misery, whether we're public about it or not. Because we don't think big enough and we don't think small enough. What the heck are you talking about? Let me help you. Your God is too small. The God that you imagine in your human brain is too small. If God is who He says He is, if He's the one that created the Milky Way as a small thing in a huge multiverse, you in your human brain cannot imagine big enough to know how big God is. I can... When we talked last week about taking a drink out of the garden hose on the front lawn, right? It's like trying to drink from a fire hose. Right? Right? Knock you on your face. You cannot imagine how big God is. Which also means how capable He is to solve anything in your life. Do you know that some of the things that we are desperate about or broken up about in our lives may just be there to help turn us back to Him? God allows certain things to happen so that we might turn to Him. Our God is so big that so often when we talk to Him, we're not in love with Him because we don't talk to Him like He is really God. Are your prayers big enough? Who would have come to salvation this week if God answered every one of your prayers? Just the ones you spoke or wrote. Who would have come to Christ?
Who would have had a job? Who would have been healed of cancer? Who? Are we bringing to God with patience and persistence, the way Jesus instructs us in Luke 11, right after the Lord's Prayer? Are we patient and persistent in continuing to bring to God things that are big enough to be worthy for Him to think about? Hello? So we miss it. We live in misery, in mediocrity, in ho-hum, God's boring, the Bible is boring, prayer is boring, church is boring, because we are spiritually sick. We're spiritually sick because we are not focusing on God, we're focusing on this temporary life. If your God is too small, your life is never going to be lived to the full. Now, why did I say? Because we don't think small enough. Most of the time, we don't see how big God is, and then we are also not sensitive enough, honest enough with ourselves, real enough with ourselves to realize that certain decisions that we make affect our lives as it relates to God. Now, let's bring this home. If I'm in love with God, I want to do whatever it takes to be with Him. Hello? Yes. Then prayer and Bible reading has got nothing to do with your relationship with me. It's got nothing to do with your spouse thinking you're a better person. It's because you love God and you want to take time to say thank you. Right? And because He's so crazy good, you want to learn more. It's like a Snickers bar. I always want a second one. Some of you need a Snickers bar. I know, I'm just terrible today. All right, so maybe you should think small enough. On the back of today's paper, I graphed my week. It starts with Sunday. I mean, you don't have to start with Sunday. You can start with Wednesday if you want. I don't care. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And what I do is I start to write in, what are the most important things? Right? Before I'm going to let TV, internet, other stuff start to fill space, right? I got to put the most important things in first. Hello? This is not about legalism. This is not about guilt. This is about, are you in love? Because, see, if you're in love, you want to do something about it. Am I the only human in this place? If you're in love, you want to do something about it. I don't know anybody who's in love who doesn't do nothing. If you're doing nothing, I don't know what's wrong with you. If you're in love, you want to do something about it. If I'm in love, I want to pack my life first. I want to chart my week. I want to write it out. Now, I'm not trying to say God wants you to quit your job. All right? Don't get it mixed up. We believe in jobs. All right? We believe in paying your bills. So does God. He talked about it a lot. All right? I've got to write in the most important things first. Now, let me be practical just real quick as we come down in our last 5 or 6 minutes here. Okay. So I told you that there's medical research that shows fasting actually slows the aging process. It's actually just medically a good idea for you. Medically, once a year to just go without food for a while, for like 3 days, just water, really good idea. I suggest going off caffeine several days before that because you combine those two and it's not good. All right? But it actually slows the aging process. It actually helps your digestive system. It's just like a farmer will rest a field. If you rest your digestive system, it's actually good for it. Okay? Now, the same is true in my spirit. If I have chunks of time where I stop with the TV, I stop with the internet, I stop with certain social things, certain other activities in my week for a season of time to just rest. You don't have to work. You don't have to memorize 40 scriptures. I mean, if God wants you to do that, knock yourself out. But, you know, you don't have to read the whole Bible, but rest in Him. sit and consider, what does John 3, 16 and 17 mean to me? Like, for real. What does it mean? What does it say about God? What does it say about me? I mean, do we actually give ourselves enough time to... I think we spend more time thinking about food than we think about God. God, right? Kinda importante. First. Our nation is weak because people don't know what goes first. Then when I'm in a place where I'm in love with God, it's easier for me to chart my week. Now, there's medical research that tells us things like foods that are high in high fructose corn syrup trick my brain to help me think that I'm not full. So when you eat fast food or other junk food that's heavy in high fructose corn syrup, you're always going to overeat. Now, the first time in my life that I lost 35 pounds, the way that I did that was by eating slower. My wife said, "You eat too fast." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Guess what? There's digestive juices from right here all the way to my stomach. By eating slower and walking, I lost 35 pounds in less than 2 months. And guess what? I've never gone back to that weight. God created your body to work in certain ways. He's a genius. He created your body to work in certain ways. Now, here's some other scientific research that we have that's easy to verify. TVs, computer monitors, a flicker, keeps your brain excited, makes it harder for you to rest.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I'm probably not the only person in this room who's had trouble sleeping. Now, if I've been married 16 years, you know I'm getting close to 40. Some of you are not, and you don't have any trouble sleeping. I may not be the only person. Let me tell you, if you turn the TV off an hour, a half hour, before you should go to bed, you will sleep better. Science, not Bible. Right? Science. If your biggest meal of the day is within an hour of going to bed, guess what? Science tells us your body cannot make the best use of the food. You will automatically build more fat than muscle out of that food. Science. Some of you say, "Well, my job, it doesn't..." No, you get to make decisions about how you do your job. And guess what? When you interview, you get a chance to make decisions. Some of you think, "No, it doesn't apply to me." It does. I've gone into job interviews and people said, "Don't say that to them, you're crazy." And I've told them, "Listen, this is my schedule and this is what I give to you. I take a lunch break. I don't work on Sundays. I don't work on Wednesday night. I don't work on Monday night. I have things that are in my life that are more important than you." Guess what? An employer will get more out of you than if you are constantly hungry and tired and stressed at work because the rest of your life is not working. If your spirit life isn't working, your work life won't work. And God has a lot to say about our work life. God cares about our work life. It's not a curse. Hello? If I am ready, rested, I've eaten, okay? My mind is rested, I'm fueled and aflame, then I'm passionate about my work. If I'm stressed out because I'm eating my only meal of the day right as I watch TV from 9 to 11, then I'm not able to sleep as good, I'm not able to digest as good, and then I've got stressed out because of all this extra work that has to be done. Guess what? Any smart employer is smart enough to see that that doesn't work. Am I helping anyone today? Jesus knew that we would need to be reminded of a principle of firsts. Now, I've been in very high-pressure jobs. We don't have time for me to tell you stories today. But I can tell you that taking a break at lunch to walk and talk to God helped me operate at a very high level. Before moving here, I helped a business stop from being shut down and rebuild its whole business model, and 18 months later, they sold it to a Fortune 500. I've accomplished some stuff at high levels in high-stress environments, but I did not sacrifice my relationship with Jesus. It's possible. Say it with me. It's possible. Right? I can make a decision of what goes first. Now, what kind of God do we serve? Let's close by reading a couple of the scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14 from the New Living. This is God talking through Jeremiah. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. A selection from Joel 2. This is again God speaking through the prophet Joel. Turn to me now. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Return to the Lord your God, for He is merciful and compassionate. Some of us need a seasonal, healthy time to repent of not giving God His due. Some of us need every once in a while to just stop and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm not focused on you. I'm not. My heart is focused on the wrong things. I'm not focused on you. I'm not focused on how good you are, because if I was focused on how good you are, I wouldn't be stressed about these other things. Now, you may, okay, so what on earth do I do with this? The bottom here, I want you to take time today, tomorrow, to think, why do I love God? Now, that might be difficult for you, so I've given you a suggestion here on the bottom of a page. Write a list of your own reasons why you love God. And maybe after you read John chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, and Colossians chapter 3. That'll help jumpstart you. You know, one of the things that I do is, and I'm not trying to brag, I'm not trying to, whatever, but one of the reasons our marriage works is because I pray for Rebecca. And another reason is because I stop and I write down lists of things about her that I appreciate. And one includes, you know, she's attractive. But she also has a beautiful spirit. She's also like crazy smart, tests off the, you know, chart, not as high as Kristen, but pretty high. And she's funny. Rebecca is funny. And she loves to bake, even though she has like, somebody used to bill like $400 an hour for the code she could write, but she loves to bake. I'm into that. I love to eat, so it works out. Maybe it's time for you to sit down and write a list about God. What do I love about God? Will you stand with me? Let's close in prayer. I hope that this has been encouraging and not just challenging. And if you feel mostly challenged, make sure that you find someone this morning to love on you and encourage you and tell you it's going to be all right. It's not as hard as it sounds. God loves you. As soon as you reach out to Him, He's already there reaching out to you. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's close in prayer. God, we love You. We thank You for the Scripture. We thank You for Your great love for us and that You are indeed already reaching out to us. I pray that You would help us as we write these lists to You about what we appreciate about You and help us to be more in love with You, that as we finish this final week of a prayer focus on You first, that as we finish a time of prayer and fasting, we would encourage each other, we'd love on each other, but we would spend time to focus on You, to think about what we love about You, and to structure our lives in a way that You come first. I thank You for it. You are a good God. And we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you for coming. Again, we have something to eat and drink right outside these doors behind me to my right. As you start to wrap up your conversations if you grab your personal belongings with you, because there won't be as much time to come back into this space. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great day, and may the Ravens win. Amen.